Illinois Public Media News. This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, September 26th. Coming up, tick-borne diseases have been on the rise in Illinois for many years, and ticks appear to be migrating across the state. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin visited the University of Illinois yesterday to see the impact federal funding has had on research into the genetics of bees. IPM's Emily Hayes reports.
Senator Durbin brought $8 million to the school for the initiative over the last 5 years. That's helped U of I researchers sequence the DNA of 150 species of bees to better understand how to protect the pollinators. Entomology professor Alexandra Harmon-Threet says corn and soy don't need bee pollination to grow, but pumpkins, watermelons, and strawberries do.
My doctoral advisor would say, well, we would have a diet without pollinators, but it'd be very boring. There'd be little color. There'd actually be pretty low nutritional value. You'd keep your meats, you'd keep your carbs, but you wouldn't keep many of the micronutrients and vitamins that you need to live a healthy and productive life.
Durbin says cuts to federal research grants make it harder for America to address its current and future challenges. He says voters can decide whether they want that funding restored during the midterm elections. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
Tick bites can lead to illnesses such as Lyme disease and alpha-gal syndrome, a condition that's on the rise in Illinois. IPM Student Newsroom's Alyssa Eaton has more on the allergy to meat that develops in some people years after a tick bite.
CDC data shows Illinois has one of the highest rates of alpha-gal syndrome. It's a newer discovery, says University of Illinois entomologist Brian Allen. And it's likely the disease is very common, but underdiagnosed.
The CDC estimates there could be something like 450,000 Americans who are currently afflicted by alpha-gal syndrome, the majority of whom have not yet even been diagnosed with the syndrome.
Allen says researchers are working to improve diagnostics for tick-borne illnesses. And he says a public act recently passed in Illinois will help increase tick-borne disease surveillance across the state. I'm Alyssa Eaton, IPM News.
The Illinois Department of Public Health announced this week it would recommend COVID-19 vaccinations for most people in the state. That's in direct contrast to last week's guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The federal agency declined to recommend the shots for anyone and decided people could make their own decision after talking with a doctor, nurse, or pharmacist. Dr. Kiran Joshi is the chief operating officer at the Cook County Department of Public Health. He tells WBEZ's In the Loop the state considered how the federal guidance might reduce vaccine uptake.
Really took into account the idea that this shift to shared decision-making really would weaken the clarity of a universal message of vaccination and would really put more burden on clinicians and patients.
Joshi also says healthcare access for some people is limited, which could create a vaccine equity issue. Former Republican State Senator Darren Bailey officially kicked off his second campaign for Illinois governor. Capital News Illinois reports Bailey picked Cook County Republican Chairman Aaron Del Mar as his running mate. They think bringing two Republicans from opposite sides of the state gives them the best chance to win. Bailey lost the general election in 2022 to Governor J.B. Pritzker, but Bailey says bringing on Del Mar will make things different this time.
The people in Cook County in Chicago are affected much more, I believe, than they were, 4 years ago. So staying on, on the message is really pretty simple and pretty obvious. I mean, taxes are too high. Opportunity doesn't exist. Our children are moving out of the state and people just simply can't afford to live and work here.
Bailey joins DuPage County Sheriff James Mendrick, businessman Joe Severino, and conservative researcher Ted Dabrowski in the Republican primary. Pritzker announced he is running for a third term in June. Still to come, tick-borne diseases have been on the rise in Illinois for many years, and ticks appear to be migrating across the state. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for sunny skies with a high of 82 degrees and a northwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies with a low of 54 degrees, a northwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 86 degrees, a west wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, clear skies with a low of 57 degrees, a west wind 5 miles per hour, and for Sunday, sunny with a high of 88 degrees and a west wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, Darren Bailey has announced another run for governor of Illinois. The Republican lost his last campaign, but how did a relatively obscure state senator from rural Illinois end up with his party's nomination in the first place? A new book argues the mainstream media is to blame. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk with author and communications professor Nick Usher next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Tick-borne diseases have been on the rise in Illinois for many years. New research shows ticks are migrating to different parts of the state. To learn more, IPM Student Newsroom's Alyssa Eaton spoke with Becky Smith. She's an associate professor of epidemiology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign.
Could you tell me about your study? So what does it mean that these three species of ticks have been found in the state?
So our previous research has found all of these ticks in the state for a very long time. What we think we're finding now is that they're in more of the state. So it used to be that you would only find Lone Star ticks down in the Shawnee National Forest. And I have colleagues up in Chicago who are finding them in the Chicago area. And it used to be that you would only find the black-legged tick up in the Chicago area, up along the Wisconsin border. And now we're finding them in the Shawnee National Forest. So they're moving across the state. The dog tick has always been everywhere. It likes all of Illinois. But we think they're moving. They're expanding their range. And we think that there's more. But it's really hard to tell because we haven't systematically been looking for them over the years. So all three species of ticks that we looked at in this study are what we call vector ticks, meaning that they can carry things that cause people to get sick.
Your study mentions how different regions within Illinois are hotspots for different species. Do you think that different regions should have different safety protocols depending on their tick distribution?
One thing that we are concerned about is the different species have different preferred habitats. So the American dog tick, which we find throughout the state but is especially prevalent here in central Illinois, it actually likes grasslands. So that kind of guides us as to where the risk is, but the same precautions work for all of them.
Could you tell me a little bit about the dangers that these ticks pose? What kind of diseases can they transmit? Is it different from species to species?
Yes. So each species has different pathogens or things that cause disease that they carry. So mostly we're thinking about bacterial diseases, but the one everybody's worried about is alpha-gal syndrome, which causes you to be allergic to mammalian meat. And that's not a pathogen. That's just an allergy caused by the tick's saliva. And it's more concerning to some people than the bacterial infections, because the bacterial infections, if we find them quickly, we can treat them. Alpha-gal, there are some treatments, but mostly it's just avoiding all mammalian meat products.
So what are researchers currently doing in order to better understand these diseases and the dangers that they pose?
So this study comes after many, many years of studying where ticks are in Illinois. We went out to places where we didn't have good records to collect ticks. We are also collecting data from the State Department of Public Health on where the cases are. So now we're going to look at where the cases are and where the ticks are. And we're also doing surveys to understand where people interact with ticks, where they find ticks and what they're doing, and what sort of things cause people to be more at risk for tick encounters, so that we can put it all together and say, here's where the ticks are, here's what people are doing when they meet the ticks, and here's where the diseases are. And so we can provide guidance of, in this particular month, in this particular county, you are at moderate or high risk of this particular disease.
How do you think people can stay safe from ticks? Is it just as simple as wearing long pants and using bug repellent when you're spending time outside?
So long pants and tick repellent are both very important. Tick repellent for yourself and for your animals, but also tick checks. And tick checks are really the best thing that you can do, because it takes time for the tick to bite after they've crawled onto you. And then even after they bite, it often takes 24 to 48 hours to transmit the pathogen. So you have time to actually find the tick and remove it. So when you come in from the outside, if you go do a full tick check. Taking a shower is the best way, because in the shower you can strip down and check all of those little crevices that the ticks like to be in, and just make sure that you get those ticks removed. If they have attached, pull them off with tweezers, so you can just remove them and squish them with the tweezers, not with your fingers or with your boot.
I think that basically covers all my questions. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I just add that this is what we call a One Health issue. So it's not just human health, but it's also animal health. So we're concerned about dogs, we're concerned about cats, horses and cows can be affected by ticks. And it's also an environmental issue, because the ticks thrive in areas that are environmentally degraded, because they're kind of good at taking advantage of generalist species like mice and deer. So it's really an issue that affects human, animal, and environmental health. So we'd like to tackle it as a holistic thing and not just as human health.
Dr. Becky Smith, thank you so much for speaking to me.
Thank you for having me, Alyssa.
That's University of Illinois epidemiologist Becky Smith speaking with IPM Student Newsroom's Alyssa Eaton. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Alyssa Eaton, Katie O'Connell, and Capital News Illinois. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.